Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Today we have a little bit of romance for you, and we're also going out west to visit with the Texas Rangers. About that romance, it's not only on the air, but it's in the air, if you will. The show is called Romance, and the episode, Summer Song. This is from July of 1955.
Now, from Hollywood, Romance. The first summer after high school graduation is a bright and wonderful time. 3 long months of sun and sky and balmy nights and moonlight. It's a time to be young, summer is. And if it also brings romance, well, it's a time for that, too. But sometimes when the summer is over, a boy finds out he's more than 3 months older, a lot more. So now with Sam Edwards as Scott and Eleanor Tannen as Dana, we bring you transcribed Kathleen Height's charming story, Summer Song.
I guess I'd wanted the job all my life. I'd hung around the country club since I was a kid, caddying and helping Dad work on the greens. But I sure never thought I'd get to be lifeguard there someday. Of course, winning cups in the state high school meets last winter didn't hurt any. And Dad didn't hurt any either. He'd been with the club for 25 years.
Yeah, got it looking good, son. I'll cut that ivy back for you up there behind the diving board.
Oh, I was going to do that.
You tend to your pool. I'll handle the gardening.
Yes, sir.
Well, Scott, you just keep the pool safe and clean. That's your big job. You got to watch the youngsters. They'll be carting soda pop and worse out here. The next thing you know, somebody will cut the foot.
I was thinking I'd ask Mr. Masters if the directors wouldn't pass a rule or something that you couldn't bring bottles out to the pool.
Well, you can ask him, but this isn't the municipal beach, you know. Folks at private clubs don't like too many rules.
They don't like their feet cut either.
No, but... Well, go ahead, ask Mr. Masters. I just kind of doubt if the board of directors will give you the rule, that's all.
Oh, open for business yet?
You're early, Mr. Masters. The pool doesn't open till 10.
Sounds like he's in charge here, doesn't he, Len?
Well, sir, the way he's been talking to me, I think he is.
That's what we want you to do, Scott. Take complete charge.
I'll do my best, sir.
Well, I'm not worried about you. You're your father's son, and you're a good boy, Scott. I'm speaking for all the directors when I tell you we consider ourselves lucky to get you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Masters. Dad and I were just talking. I had an idea, sort of a safety net.
Well, don't tell it to me, son. Write it down. Give it to George in the locker room.
All right, sir. I'll do it before I leave tonight.
Well, come to me any time you've got a problem, Scott. I'll do my best for you.
Yes, sir.
What about swimming lessons? Cappy's been hounding me ever since she heard about the new lifeguard.
Cappy?
My younger daughter. She's 10 years old. And part fish. She's completely fearless when it comes to the water. But she needs some good instruction.
I'll be glad to teach her, sir.
Oh, good. I'll send Cappy around to you. Well, I'm due on the first tee. I just wanted to wish you well.
Thanks again, Mr. Masters.
Goodbye, Scott, Len. Oh, the greens are looking splendid.
Thank you, sir.
He's sure a nice man, isn't he, Dad?
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of nice people out here, son. Don't forget, we're nice people, too. Your mother raised you to be a gentleman. I expect you to act like one.
What are you saying, Dad?
Oh, just do your job here, Scott. Most of the people know you. A lot of the young people were in high school with you. But don't get any ideas of socializing with them. Remember, we don't belong to the club. We just work here.
I knew what Dad meant, and he was right, I knew that too. But I didn't figure it would be any problem. I had my job to do. It was okay to be pleasant, but I never did have any ideas about moving with the rich crowd at the club. Nobody ever made a point of it, but you can tell when you don't belong someplace. No, not that way, Cappy. Hold it. Hold it a minute.
How is that, Scott? Am I getting better?
That was pretty bad, friend.
Oh, I thought it was good.
You're not keeping your knees straight like I told you. You kicked from your hips, not your knees.
I know that. You keep telling me.
Yeah, but you keep not doing it. Now, come on, let's try it again.
Couldn't we just stop a while? I'm all kicked out.
Well, okay. You take a little rest if you want to.
Help me out?
Sure.
Why don't we order some hot dogs?
Too early for lunch. It isn't even 11 yet.
My stomach doesn't care what time it is. I'm going to order some hot dogs.
Okay, but you can't go back in the pool for at least an hour after you eat.
Aw, Scott.
You get stomach cramps, crazy. I'd have to haul you out and give you artificial respiration.
What's that?
Oh, it's what they call it when you get water out of people's lungs. First, I'd put you on your stomach, turn your head to one side.
Wait a minute. Show me.
Don't be silly.
Come on. Artificially respirate me.
Oh, okay. You get your head off the concrete.
Okay.
Now, turn it to one side now.
Like this?
Now, put your elbows out. Hmm? Rest your head on your hands.
I can't. I'm drowned.
Okay, you're drowned. So, to get the water out of your lungs, I gotta push down on your rib cage this way and stop. And then I get you by the elbows.
Hey, that's no fun.
Quiet. You're drowned. And then we start all over again.
That tickles, Scott. Quit it.
Well, this looks like fun.
Uh-huh. Oh, we were just clowning a little.
Well, go ahead. Don't let me bother you.
Oh, Dana, go away. I'm having my lesson.
I think maybe I need a few lessons.
Go on. We don't need you. I'm drowning. Scott's saving my life.
Is that his name? Scott?
That's my name.
Cappy talks about you all the time, but I had no idea.
Dana,
that you...
will you please go away? He's my friend.
Mother wants you. She's in the locker room.
She does not. You're just saying that.
Stop whining and go find Mother.
Aw, you make me sick, Dana. I wish you weren't my sister.
You can take that up with Mother, too.
I'll be back, Scott. You wait for me now.
I will, Cappy. She's a cute kid.
She's impossible. Are you a good teacher?
I think so.
What do I have to do to arrange for lessons? Private lessons.
Oh, from 9 to 11 any morning. You name it.
Too early. Anyway, I think night lessons would be better. Don't you?
No swimming after the pool closes. That's 10 o'clock. In case you've forgotten the rules.
I always forget the rules.
I remembered Dana. I remembered her when she was just a little girl, and I used to caddy sometimes for her mother. I guess she was beautiful. It wasn't so much her hair. It was dark, almost black and kind of choppy, the way they wear it now. Or her eyes, or the way she moved, or even the way she looked. Except when she looked at me. Like she was amused a little. Like she knew I'd always noticed her. And I always had. Okay, 10 o'clock. Everybody out.
You don't mean me, do you, Scott?
I mean you especially.
But you haven't even seen me swim tonight.
Sure I have. And you still bend your knees when you kick.
Oh.
Come on, Cappy. I gotta lock up now.
I just don't see how it could be 10 o'clock.
Well, it is. And that means you've been in the water off and on for like 12 hours now.
I know. We could clean the pool tonight. Just you and me in that way.
You go down and get a hot shower and get all dressed. Your folks will be looking for you.
You sound just like Dana.
Do I?
Always telling me to run along and do something.
Well, maybe she knows what's best for you.
She doesn't know anything except what she wants. Scott.
Hmm?
Don't let her spoil everything. Just you be my friend, will you?
I'll be your friend, Cappy.
Can I help you clean the pool sometime?
If it's okay with your folks, you can help me.
I like you.
Hey.
I'll see you in the morning.
Hey, watch your step. Don't run on the wet pavement. What a kid.
Hey, Scott, you around?
Well, yeah, but the pool's closed for the night, Tony.
Yeah, I see it is. You already cut the lights, huh?
Well, you don't look like you're dressed for swimming anyway.
Not unless somebody tosses me in. And believe me, I've seen it happen. I'm looking for Dana, Dana Masters. You know her?
Well, yeah. I know her. I haven't seen her around here, though.
She pulled one of her disappearing acts. Thought she might be down here.
No, she isn't.
No. Well, look, if you see her before you leave, tell her everyone's waiting for her, will you? Up in the ballroom?
Yeah. If I see her, sure will.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, you can't go in there. The pool's closed.
Then why don't you come in and make me get out?
You'd better get out. Tony Lord, all your friends are waiting for you.
What about you?
Look, you can get me in a lot of trouble unless you get out of the pool now.
I came for my lesson, remember? Besides, maybe you'll like getting into a lot of trouble.
I don't think so.
You see? You're not sure. Well, come on in, Scott. The water's fine.
We'll return to romance and our story, Summer Song, in just a moment. Even a liar ought to be believed once in a while. When General Parsley Smith, a whale of a whopper teller, takes over Pioneer Dodge City, United States Marshal Matt Dillon learns that under special circumstances, even a liar will tell the truth. Don't miss the story on Gunsmoke, today on CBS Radio. Remember, for adventure and thrills in the Old West, hear Gunsmoke every Saturday in the daytime on most of these same Stars address stations. And now for the second act of Romance.
Dana didn't need any swimming lessons. Dana didn't need any lessons, period. And she was right. The water was fine. With the pool lights off and only a piece of moon shining on the warm water, she was hard to find. Harder still to catch. But I did catch her, finally. Probably just about the time she wanted to be caught.
And now what do we do, Scott?
We'll get you out of here.
I don't think you can. Well, maybe you can. But you don't want to, do you, Scott? Wouldn't you like to just stay here for a while? Close?
Come on, Dana.
My! How strong we are!
Don't ever do that again.
It's such a big mistake to throw a challenge at me, Scott.
Look, I like this job, but if anyone finds you here now, I can lose it.
You don't look like a guy who's afraid of his job.
I just don't want to lose it.
What are you afraid of? So big and strong. You're not afraid of me, are you, Scott?
I'm not afraid of anything. I just want you to get out of here now.
No, you don't.
Don't laugh at me, Dana.
Why, you're trembling. And I don't think it has anything to do with your job.
What are you trying to do?
Still afraid, Scott?
You'd better go now.
It's a long summer. I'll be around for some more lessons.
Dana!
Well?
Nothing. Go on.
You keep right on telling me what to do. I love it.
Yeah.
I haven't been living in a cage, exactly. I'm 19 and I know a couple of things, but I forgot them the first time she came near me. And all night long, I thought about what was beginning. But I never even thought about how it might end.
There! I didn't bend my knees once that time, did I?
Well, no, I guess not, Cappy.
Didn't you see? Oh, Scott, you weren't watching me at all.
Sure I was.
I wish she'd go home.
Hmm?
Dana, look at her, up on the diving tower. She isn't going to dive.
Well, not from there, she isn't. Hey, not from a tower, Dana. Too many people in the pool.
I didn't think you noticed anyone over 10 years old.
Just don't dive from the tower.
And with no one up here to stop me, I might have to.
Stay there, will you?
You're not going to carry me down in front of all these people.
You don't have to make it tough on me all the time, do you?
I got you up here. That's all I wanted. It's time you played with girls your own age.
I'm paid to teach Cappy to swim.
I'd keep an eye on me, too. I'm liable to drown or something.
Dana, please.
You're not trembling again, are you, Scott?
Where are you going to be after the pool closes tonight?
That's better.
Where?
I won't be hard to find.
Hey, Dana, will you break it up and come down here?
Shall I go, Scott?
That's up to you.
No, it isn't. Unless you don't want me to stay.
Look, I've got a job to do. I can't do anything about you now.
Hey, what is this? Did you hear me?
I don't like to be yelled at.
Okay. So real quiet-like. Steve and Linda want us to go to the Red Barn with them tonight, okay?
Okay.
But I thought you said that...
Scott, what did you think I said about tonight?
Nothing. Not a single thing.
Hey, watch it, fella.
Watch what?
I'll take care of the girl. You take care of the pool, huh?
It took everything I had not to bust him one right there. I went all hot inside. My throat went dry. And the only thing I knew to do was to dive into the pool. I swam about 6 lengths before I cooled off. And when I finished, all I could hear was her laugh as she walked off with Tony. Now, that was fine. I wish she'd stay with him and never come near me again.
Hi.
Dana.
I said I wouldn't be hard to find.
What do you want?
Silly, silly question.
Look, I don't understand you. You're supposed to be at the Red Barn.
And last night I was supposed to be up in the ballroom, only I wasn't. I was with you. Get in the car, Scott.
Dana, we gotta talk a little.
I can't imagine what we'd have to say.
Like today, up on the tower. First you tell me you'll be around tonight.
Well, I'm around.
Then you tell Tony you'll go out with him and your friends. Like we hadn't even talked.
I don't like talk much. Anyway, I thought you'd tell Tony I was busy tonight. I thought it was up to you to say it.
I don't think any of this is up to me.
And if it were?
If it were, I'd...
You see? We don't have to talk. We don't ever have to say anything.
And that's the way it was, a lot of times. Dana'd be waiting for me in my car when I closed the pool for the night. Or she'd just show up where I was. Only she never promised to be anywhere, anytime. And I never knew. Sometimes a couple of days or so would go by. And she'd just smile at me, that way of hers, like we didn't really know each other at all. It got me kind of crazy.
Well, well, look who's got a suit on.
Hello, Scott.
Evening, Mr. Masters. Dana, Tony.
Must be a big occasion, Scott. I've never seen you in anything but your swimming trunks.
Yeah, well, I'm going somewhere. I just...
Something I can help you with, Scott?
Oh, no, sir. I'd like to speak to Dana, if I could.
Well, go ahead. Speak.
I meant if I could speak to you alone. Just a minute.
Well, I don't...
Dana's having her dinner right now.
I'm sorry. I just thought...
Maybe you thought wrong.
Yeah.
I've finished, Scott. I'll walk out with you. There's something about the pool I want to talk to you about anyway.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry I came. I mean, if I bothered you...
Oh, but
I...
you didn't.
Well, good night.
Good night, Scott.
I hoped I wouldn't have to speak to you about this, Scott, but I think I've kept quiet long enough.
About what, sir?
I gave you more credit than you deserved, apparently. Dana is off-limits, Scott. I don't want you bothering her again.
Bothering her? Mr. Masters,
There's nothing for us to discuss. I've said all there is to say, and I mean it. You leave my daughter alone.
I will. I sure will. You can count on it.
You'll call this a warning, Scott. Maybe you didn't know, but last year's guard lost his job for pestering Dana.
Clean the pool with you than anything I can think of.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I'll bet we're having more fun than they are, don't you?
Then they are?
Sure, you know, Dane and Tony.
What about them?
You know, they've gone to the mountains, up with Tony's folks.
No, I didn't know.
Sure, for the rest of the summer. Isn't that swell?
All summer?
Yeah. Now she won't be around bothering us, will she? I mean, now you can just be my friend.
Yeah, Cappy. Just your friend.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard Summer Song, specially written for Romance by Kathleen Height, starring Sam Edwards with Eleanor Tannen. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Mary McGovern, Lee Millar, and Ralph Moody. This is Joe Walters inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. Tonight, return with CBS Radio to the 21st Precinct. Everett Sloan stars as Captain Kennelly, the hard-working boss of the hard-working cops of the 21st Precinct. Meet the police as real police. Hear the details of their everyday risks. Stories of people who come to the police for help. And those who keep as much space as possible between themselves and the law. Remember, tonight on most of these stations, 21st Precinct returns to the Star's address. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.
Before we listen to Tales of the Texas Rangers, let's drop in on Charlie McCarthy and see what he has to say.
Now, in response to a bevy of requests from every section of the world where Uncle Sam has armed forces, the incomparable Edgar Bergen and the incorrigible Charlie McCarthy.
Mr. Bergen, I want to talk to you.
Yes?
It's very important this time.
Well, what is it, Charlie?
It's about a slight touch.
Oh, I see. A slight touch?
Yeah.
You mean you have a cold?
No. Slight touch of 50 cents.
Oh, I see.
Will you cough up?
I see. But, Charlie, you have no right to ask people for money unless you have been of service to them.
Of service?
Yes.
Well?
Well?
Well, you've been working pretty steady lately, brother.
I see.
Anyway, I'll do you a favor sometime.
But, Charlie, your whole attitude towards money is wrong.
Well, I guess it must be. I'm not getting any.
You mustn't expect to receive things for nothing.
No?
Now, I remember as a very young boy...
Here we go.
I learned that lesson from the story of Pied Piper.
Pied Piper?
Yes.
You mean a plumber with a snootful?
No. Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Would you like to hear the story?
No.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, we are in luck, aren't we? Yeah. Let's humor him.
Yes. Once upon a time...
Oh, it has an original beginning, hasn't it?
Yes. In the little town of Hamelin, you see, this town was overrun with rodents.
Rodents?
Yes.
Rodents. What's rodents?
Oh, rats.
Well, you don't have to get nasty.
Well, no. Now, the people of the village were at a loss as how to get rid of these pests.
Uh-huh.
So one summer day, there chanced to stray.
Oh, my, get him.
Yes.
A word weaver, a poet. Do you press flowers, too?
No. Please, I don't want to be interrupted.
No.
A young man came to the village, and he was called Pied Piper.
What did he do?
All right. Well, he went to the mayor, and he said, I'll rid the town of rats for 1,000 guilders.
Yeah?
And the mayor said, I'll give you 50,000 guilders.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But did he get it in writing?
No.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Now, how's he going to get rid of the rats in the town?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, around his neck, he carried a flute.
Uh-huh.
And he played weird music on this pipe, which would make the rats follow him.
Is that so?
Yes.
They followed him?
They did, yes.
Uh-huh. They'll do the same thing for a piece of cheese.
Well, no. Well. Pied Piper didn't need anything like that.
I see. Probably the music was cheesy.
Now, will you please...
What did he play?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It was some very strange melody.
Uh-huh. Must have been a masterpiece.
Now, will you...
Probably the revel of the rodents.
Now, young man.
I can go on like this for hours, but you wouldn't like it.
I don't know what he played, but I do know that the rats followed him out of town and down to the river. And then the rats all jumped into the water and were drowned.
Yeah?
Yes.
They were drowned?
Yes, they were drowned.
Why didn't they swim?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Why did they go in the water if they couldn't swim?
Well, I don't know that.
You don't know that?
No.
Maybe they'd rather drown than listen to the music, huh?
Yes, that's what it was. That's probably what it was.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't like the music, why did they follow him?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
It's a wonder you wouldn't get the facts to the story before you try to tell it.
Oh. All I know is that the rats followed him and they went in the water and they were drowned.
Yeah?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No.
You don't believe it?
No.
But they did go in the water and they did drown.
I don't believe it.
Oh, why don't you?
I don't know. I just got one of those nasty streaks, I guess. I just can't explain it. I don't believe it.
I see.
You can lead a rat to water, but you can't make him sink.
I see. Nevertheless, when the pie-eyed piper, I mean the Pied Piper...
I think you were right the first time. Yeah.
When he came back to Hamelin to collect his 1,000 guilders, what do you think the mayor said?
I don't believe it.
Now stop that. Well, anyway, the mayor said, I will give you 50 guilders after he'd already promised to give him 1,000.
That was a dirty deal.
Yes. That's a great discount for cash, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And it wasn't fair, but Pied Piper got even with him.
What did he do?
Well, I'll tell you what he did. He played his pipe again, and this time all the children followed him, and he led them into a mountain.
Into a mountain?
Yes, yes. Well, the mountain mysteriously opened up, and then after the children had entered, the mountain mysteriously closed again.
Yeah?
And the children were never heard from again.
Is that so?
Yes. And that is the story of Pied Piper.
And about as dull a thing as I've ever listened to.
Well, I don't say that it's a true story, but there is a moral to it.
Yes, there is. Never do business on credit.
Orchids to Bergen and McCarthy.
And now the mood changes as we join Joel McRae and Tales of the Texas Rangers. This program is entitled Death Shaft. From 1951.
From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Death Shaft.
It is 9:30 a.m., November 18th, 1941, in the Big Bend country of West Texas. J.C. Wilford of the Bureau of Mines and Fred Blaisdell are winding up a narrow dirt road toward Blaisdell's abandoned mine in Black Hawk Canyon.
How long do you say it's been since you operated your mine, Mr. Blaisdell?
I never have operated it, Wilford. It was left me by my brother when he passed on.
Oh, I see.
I always understood there was ore here if you had the money to get it out, but I didn't. So I just let her sit here. Haven't even been near the place for, 2 years anyway. But lately, I've been reading that the government's anxious to get some of these mines going again.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in touch with you at the Bureau of Mines to see if you think it's a worthwhile proposition.
Well, if it looks promising at all, we can make a thorough survey, do a little diamond drilling, and see what we've got.
Then if it looks good, you think the government will loan the money to operate it?
Well, that's something I can't answer. All we at the Bureau do is make the recommendation. Hey, pretty desolate country around here, isn't it?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, here we are.
Oh, is that the entrance to the mine ahead?
Yeah, that's it.
All boarded up.
And padlocked. Guess my brother put that door on the entrance to the shaft when he quit working the mine. Yeah, I got my key. That's funny.
What's the matter, please?
Key doesn't seem to fit.
Well, you sure it's the right one?
Hey, this isn't the same lock on here.
What?
Well, there was a master padlock on here before. Now it's just a cheap one from a dime store, looks like.
That's strange. Who'd want to switch locks? Why?
I don't know. Somebody must have been snooping around up here. Wait. Piece of iron bar line over here. See if I can pry that lock off.
It's a fairly new lock by the look of it.
Yeah. Okay, let's open her up.
Yeah, I got the flashlight. I better go first.
Okay, Wilford. Sure wet in here.
Yeah, these drifts collect a lot of moisture when the mine's not in use. Blaisdell!
What's the matter, Wilford?
Look, they're on the ground in front of us.
Holy smoke, a skeleton.
The clothes just about all rotted away.
And a different padlock on the entrance. Looks like somebody didn't want this skeleton found, Wilford.
Yeah, and if you'll take a look at the skull, you'll see why.
Hey, it's all bashed in.
It sure is. The club or a rock by the look of it. Yeah. Whoever that was, looks like he was murdered.
Two men notified Sheriff Benson, who requested help from the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case, joining the sheriff and two men at Blaisdell's mine.
Pretty damp, Sheriff.
Sure is.
You men touch anything in here?
Not a thing, Ranger. After I pried off the new lock, we come inside. But just as soon as we saw the skeleton, we got out in a hurry and called the sheriff. Isn't that right, Wilford?
Yeah, that's right, Ranger.
Well, there it is, Jace.
Yeah. Skull sure is bashed in.
It'd be pretty hard to tell how long he's been dead, Jace.
Yeah, remains would deteriorate pretty fast in this dampness.
And as far as telling who it is, clothes are all rotted away, so the same would go for any papers he might have been carrying.
Just a minute, Sheriff.
Hmm?
Look, these loose rocks on the side here.
All right. Looks like a leather wallet.
It is. Pretty well preserved, too.
Sure, sure. It was a little higher than the skeleton, up out of the wet. Yeah, pretty lucky for us.
Looks that way.
Any money in it?
No. Just some papers.
Might have been robbery. Killer took the money, then tossed the billfold away. Can you make out the writing on any of the papers?
Gilbert W. Madden.
Madden?
Name mean anything to you, Blaisdell?
I was just trying to think. No, I don't remember ever hearing it before.
How about you, Mr. Wilford? Being from the Bureau of Mines, you probably spend a lot of time around this part of the state. You ever hear the name before?
Madden. Sounds a little familiar, but I can't seem to place it, Ranger. I'm sorry.
Okay. I guess that'll be all for now. Let's get back outside. We want signed statements from you. You can drop around the sheriff's office and make them.
I'll be in this afternoon, if that's okay.
Sure. See you then, Blaisdell.
Come on, Wilfred. I'll give you a lift back to town.
Right.
You through here, Jess?
Not quite. Take this broken padlock along. I want to look at this hasp on the door.
I doubt if you can tell much from that. It's all scratched up where Blaisdell pried off that padlock.
Yeah, I know. There's one thing sort of puzzles me a little, Sheriff.
What is it?
This new lock isn't rusty enough to have been out here in the open for very long.
What do you figure that means?
I won't know until I can get some idea of the approximate time of death. Come on, let's get back to town and start checking on Gilbert Madden. See if we can find out how long ago he was murdered. Back at the sheriff's office, I checked through the missing persons reports and found one on Gilbert Madden filed by his wife 8 months before. Mrs. Madden was promptly notified and requested to meet us at the sheriff's office for routine questioning.
Have a seat, Ms. Madden.
Thank you, Sheriff.
I'm sorry to be asking questions at a time like this, ma'am.
That's all right, Ranger. I don't suppose there's any doubt it was Gil.
I'm afraid not, ma'am. We found his wallet, and the lab confirmed the identification by means of the teeth.
Well, I've felt for some time that Gil must be dead. In a way, it's almost better knowing instead of wondering.
I know. Mrs. Madden, our lab's trying to establish the time of your husband's murder. Now, according to our information, you filed this missing persons report on last March 23rd, a little less than 8 months ago.
That's right.
What were the circumstances surrounding your husband's disappearance?
Well, Gilbert was a mine broker. He made trips in the mining country every now and then. He planned to be away for 2 or 3 weeks, so I decided to visit my relatives in Kansas while he was gone.
I see. When was that?
Right around the 1st of March, as I remember.
And how long were you in Kansas?
3 weeks.
Did you hear from your husband during that time?
Oh, yes, I did. I got a letter from him just a couple of days before I was to return home, saying he would meet my train. But he wasn't at the depot when I arrived. I called all over town trying to locate him, and then when I couldn't, I got worried. The next day, I filed a report with the police.
Well, let's see. That'd make it about the 20th of March when you got that last letter from your husband. That means he was alive up until the time he mailed it, anyway, which would be about the 18th of March. Come in.
I left my statement with your deputy, Sheriff. Be anything else?
Oh, I reckon not.
Mrs. Madden, this is Mr. Blaisdell.
How do you do?
Ms. Madden?
Mr. Blaisdell owns the mine where your husband's body was discovered.
Oh.
Sorry to make your acquaintance under this sort of circumstance, Ms. Madden.
Sheriff, I'm sure you told me where this mine was over the phone when you notified me, but what with the shock, I don't seem to remember.
Oh, my mine is over in Black Hawk Canyon, Ms. Madden.
Black Hawk Canyon?
That mean anything to you, Miss Madden?
Old Willie.
Who?
Old Willie. He lives up in Black Hawk Canyon somewheres.
Look, Mrs. Madden,
Who is this old Willie?
Well, he has a mine up there. He's a strange old man. He's very eccentric.
Well, what makes you think he had anything to do with this?
Because in that last letter I got from Gilbert, he mentioned something about old Willie pestering him again. I didn't pay much attention to it at the time.
I still don't get the connection between your husband and this old Willie, Mrs. Madden.
Well, you see, about 2 years ago, my husband made a business trip into that region. I went with him. This old Willie was hanging around a little store where we stopped for a cold drink. When he found out my husband was a mine broker, he became very excited. Said he had a valuable mine he wanted Gilbert to look at.
Did your husband inspect Willie's mine?
No, because the storekeeper broke in and told us Willie's mine was worthless. Willie became furious, and finally the storekeeper threw him out.
I see.
Did Willie threaten your husband, Mrs. Madden?
Well, he wrote a few crazy sort of letters to Gilbert, accusing him of being a spy for what he called the big companies.
Mr. Blaisdell, have you ever heard of this old Willie?
No, I haven't, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm not acquainted with anybody in that area.
Jase, I sure think this old Willie is worth questioning.
So do I, Sheriff. We'll head back to Black Hawk Canyon and see if we can find him. Right now, he sounds like a first-class murder suspect.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Here's great news for all of you Western fans. Beginning next Friday on most NBC stations, Roy Rogers, the King of the Cowboys, and Dale Evans, the Queen of the West, will bring you the new Roy Rogers Show. Yes, beginning next Friday, be sure to listen for Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and Trigger in New Adventures in Paradise Valley. It's the Roy Rogers Show, Friday, on most NBC stations. Be sure to listen.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers, and tonight's case, Death Shaft, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
As a matter of routine, I checked up on Mrs. Madden's story of her visit to relatives in Kansas and quickly confirmed the fact that she was there during the period she had stated. Next, Sheriff Benson and I drove to the small general store in Black Hawk Canyon and questioned the storekeeper.
Old Willie? Sure, I know him, Ranger. Comes in here once a month regular for supplies. Crazy as a coot.
Where does he live, Price?
About 20 miles up the canyon. He's got a no-count mine up on East Rim. Of course, he thinks it's just chock full of ore.
Mr. Price, I want you to think back about 2 years ago. An incident involving old Willie and a mine broker named Madden is supposed to have taken place here in your store. You remember anything about it?
Sure do. Willie started giving this mine broker the usual jaw wagging about his mine being valuable. So I figured I better stick my ore in and tell the fellow Willie's mine wasn't worth a dadburn cent.
What happened then?
Oh, Willie flew off the handle in his crazy way, started spouting a bunch of threats and other loony talk, so I finally had to kick him out of the store.
Well, Jase, that sure checks with what Miss Madden told us.
Yeah. Mr. Price, can you give us directions for finding Willie's place? We'd like to pay him a visit.
Well, pretty rough country up there.
And we got horses in the trailer outside.
Oh, well, in that case, you can make it all right. You'll find the trail leading north off the road up ahead about 5 miles. Stick to the trail until they cross a dry creek. Then you'll see another trail taking off up the side of the canyon.
The second trail leads us to Willie's mine, huh?
Yep. Of course, may not find him there.
Why not?
He's pretty skitterish about visitors.
That's just why I want to pay him a visit. See if he's got anything to be skitterish about. We should be just about there, Sheriff.
Yeah, by a climb. Looks like we're directly across the canyon from Blaisdell's mine.
Listen, Burl, must be Willie's.
We're close, all right.
Once we get around this bend in the trail, yeah. It looks like some diggings up ahead there.
And just take a look at that shack there.
Someplace. Galvanized iron, tar paper, cardboard. I wonder what keeps it up.
Probably that stovepipe sticking up through the center of the roof.
Yeah, it's smoking, too. Well, he must be home all right. Ooh, ooh, charcoal.
Oh, oh, boy. Would you look at the junk he's got hanging on the outside walls? Pieces of barbed wire, tin cans, keys, bottles.
Looks like Willie's part pack rat.
Hmm. door's open.
Nobody inside.
Inside looks like the outside, only more so. Wonder where...
Hold it.
Hmm?
Look, over there in the bushes.
Yeah, something moved, all right.
Willie! Come out of there! Willie!
Hey, somebody's coming out, all right. Sure don't look very friendly with that rifle.
What do you fellas want?
You throw that rifle down and we'll tell you.
You got no call to come poking around my property.
You're wrong there, Willie. This is Sheriff Benson and I'm Ranger Pearson. We want to ask you a few questions. Now drop that rifle and come over here.
You think I'm going to tell you about my mine, don't you? Yeah, and I'm not.
Now, just a minute, Willie.
You want to get it away from me just like all the rest. You're spies for him, that's what you are. You come poking around here trying
to...
What are you talking
about, Willie? Spies for whom?
For the big companies. They all want my mine because they know it's right smack dab on the biggest vein in the county. That's why they send spies snooping around here, like you two.
I don't know, Jace.
Willie... Have you ever been near the Blaisdell mine across the canyon from here?
It ain't as good as this one is.
Answer my question. Have you ever been near there?
Yeah, maybe.
How long ago?
Oh, a couple of days.
What were you doing over there?
Patrolling.
What do you mean, patrolling?
Oh, I patrol all over. Gotta watch for the spies.
Hmm. Ever hear the name Gilbert Madden?
He ain't gonna never get my mine. All I need's a little money to operate.
I asked you a question, Willie. Have you ever heard of Gilbert Madden?
You heard him, Willie.
Yeah, maybe I have and maybe I ain't. You fellas come up here spying just like he...
Just like who? Madden?
Think you're pretty smart, don't you? But you're not going to trap me. He had his chance to get me money for the mine, but he wouldn't.
That why you killed him?
Yeah, you think you're going to get me confused with your smart talk, don't you? Well, you ain't. I ain't got too much on my mind patrolling to worry about killing anybody.
Yeah? I wonder. We got a witness that you had a fight with Madden. And furthermore...
Just a minute, Sheriff.
What is it?
Just happened to notice something hanging on the outside wall here.
Just a bunch of old rusty keys.
Yeah. But this one isn't as rusty as the rest.
Well, let me see. Jace, that key's the same make as the lock Blaisdell pried off the entrance to his mine.
That's right, Sheriff. Come here, Willie.
Hey, what you want?
Where'd you get this key?
Say, that's a good one. You want to trade some?
Where'd you get it?
I save key.
Quit stalling, Willie. Where'd you get it?
Coming around here asking me all kinds of questions. You got no call...
I'll get that padlock back in my office, Chase. I'm sure interested to see whether this key fits it.
So am I. Come on, Willie. Get your burro. We're going to take a ride.
Come down here with you fellas. You think I'm not wise, do you?
Padlock's in my desk here.
You get me down here while one of your other spies snoops around my mine, takes ore samples.
Here it is.
Let's have it. Okay, now I'll try this key in it.
Fits.
Sure does.
Well, I guess that does it all right.
Can I go now?
No, Willie. I don't think you'll be going anywhere for quite a spell.
The sheriff booked Willie, but we were unable to get any sort of coherent statement out of him. Finally, we locked him up and went back into the sheriff's office.
Well, regardless of whether or not he gives us a confession, I suppose we could get a conviction, all right?
Maybe, unless they find him mentally incompetent.
Even so, they'll put him away.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking. It'd be pretty rough on him if he happened to be innocent, wouldn't it?
If he... Innocent? Now, Jay...
Yeah, I know. We have two witnesses to the fact that Willie threatened Gilbert Madden.
That's right. Mrs. Madden and the storekeeper. But what clinches it is a padlock on Blaisdell's mine, Jace. That key we found at Willie's shack fits it. That's about as solid evidence as there is, seems to me.
I wonder.
What do you mean?
A couple of things about this don't feel quite right to me, Sheriff.
Well, what, for instance?
Well, near as the lab can figure, Madden was murdered about 8 months ago.
That's right, last March.
But the lock Blaisdell broke off the mine entrance was hardly rusty at all.
And neither was the key we found hanging out in the open at Willie's shack.
What's wrong with that, Jase? Willie broke off the original lock when he hid Madden's body.
But Madden died 8 months ago, and that second lock couldn't have been on the hasp that long.
Well, maybe Willie didn't put the lock on right away. Maybe later he got to worrying about somebody discovering the body, and, well, that's when he put it on.
Sheriff, the time you're most worried about a body being discovered is right after you've killed a man, not several months later.
Sure, that's the way a sensible person would react. But remember who we're dealing with, old Willie, who's not exactly what you call a sensible man.
I know, Sheriff. But then there's the part about the key hanging right out in plain sight at Willie's shack.
Now, Jase, you said yourself Willie was part pack rat. Remember all the other junk he had hanging around the shack?
Sure I do, Sheriff. I also remember what Willie said when we showed him that key. Say, that's a good one. Just like he'd never noticed it before.
What are you getting at, Jase?
Maybe Willie did kill Madden, but it seems to me there's a bare chance he didn't.
Then how'd he get that key?
Oh, he could have found it, or it could have been planted there.
That'd be awful tough to prove either way, Jase.
Sure it would. As long as it's a possibility, we're not closing the case. Come on, let's talk to Mrs. Madden and see if she can give us a line on anybody besides old Willie who might have a reason for killing her husband. We drove out to the Madden house, but Mrs. Madden was unable to give us any new information. She suggested we go through her husband's business records, which were in a spare room he'd used for an office. So the sheriff and I started in. But an hour later, the only things we found just made it look all the worse for Willie.
What do you got, Jase?
A bunch of letters written on wrapping paper, addressed to Madden. Crazy, threatening letters.
Who wrote them?
You guess.
Willie?
Yeah, Willie. Listen, you better watch out. I ain't going to let you steal my mind.
That's Willie, all right. Rest of them like that?
Yeah. All six of them.
Well, Jase, it looks all the worse for Willie now. We've been through just about all Madden's records and papers. And these threatened letters are all we come up with.
Yeah, and from the looks of it, Madden kept records of just about everything. Well, we might as well put these papers back, I guess.
Okay. What do you got there?
A pile of canceled checks.
Hand them over, and I'll stick them here in the drawer.
Okay, just thumbing through them. I guess there's nothing here. Hey.
What is it?
Sheriff, look at this check. It's dated 2 years ago.
Hmm? Let's see. Well, what about it? It's just made out to cash and signed by Madden.
Yeah, but take a look at this pencil writing up in the corner.
Pencil writing? Let's... Well, I'll be.
So will I. Come on.
Going to make an arrest?
Not yet. I need more proof, and I think I know a way to get it. Just go along with whatever I say.
Sure, Jase.
Anything that can help in Gilbert's papers, Ranger Pearson?
I think we did, Mrs. Madden. You said you accompanied your husband on his business trip into the Black Hawk Canyon area 2 years ago.
That's right.
Why'd he go there?
Well, just to size up the situation, find out what mines were for sale.
I see. He didn't actually transact any business, though.
No. Of course, this Willie wanted him to come up and see his mine, but when the storekeeper told us the mine was no good...
Yeah. And you stayed right with your husband the whole trip?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am.
You say you found something in Gilbert's papers?
We don't know for sure, so I'd like to give you a receipt for these canceled checks. I want more time to examine them. Here you are.
Canceled checks?
Yeah. It looks like one of them's going to take the wrong man out of jail and put the right man in. Come on, Sheriff.
I see. Well, I'm glad to hear it. If there's anything more I can do.
We'll let you know, Mrs. Madden. Goodbye.
She's lying, Jase.
Like a trooper.
What now?
We'll watch her. Have one of your deputies keep an eye on him. We don't want him to get away, but we don't want to pick him up yet either.
Okay, I'll call my office from the drugstore.
I'll wait in my car around the corner. Meet me there. The sheriff made his call and rejoined me. We sat in my car waiting. And a little after dark, Mrs. Madden's car pulled away from her house, heading out of town. We followed, keeping well back. 2 miles out of town, she pulled off the highway, parked behind another car, got out and headed into the brush. The sheriff and I worked our way slowly and quietly in the direction she'd taken.
Should be around here somewhere.
Yeah.
keep it as quiet as possible, Sheriff.
Reckon she came out here to meet him?
Looks like. Listen.
Yeah. I hear him talking. Look, in that clearing ahead.
Yeah, let's ease up a little.
You little fool, you must have overlooked something when you went through those records.
No, I'm sure I didn't, Fred. I found the entry he made where you paid him for appraising your mine 2 years ago. I tore it out. There's nothing in those records to show the two of you knew each other.
You're wrong there, ma'am. Hold it real steady, Blaisdell.
Pearson.
Yeah. So the two of you didn't know each other until I introduced you, huh? You've been in it together ever since you met 2 years ago.
Clara, you little fool. You were tricked into coming out here so they could catch us together. They didn't have any proof of anything.
I got proof right here in my pocket that you lied when you said you didn't know Madden, Blaisdell.
Yeah, what kind of proof?
Something you overlooked, Mrs. Madden. A check made out to Cash. What? You didn't notice the pencil writing on it.
Pencil writing?
Your husband made a notation that the check was to cover expenses of a trip he'd made to appraise Blaisdell's mine 2 years ago. You told me you were with your husband the whole trip. So you lied about not knowing Blaisdell.
Clara, you stupid...
You gotta listen to me. I didn't want any part of it, but Blaisdell forced me to.
What's that?
I'm in the clear. I was in Kansas when it happened. Blaisdell killed my husband.
Oh, that's how you stick by me, is it? Why, you little...
Hold it, Blaisdell.
You're not going to get away free, Clara. I guarantee that. Sure, I killed Madden Ranger, but it was her idea.
That's a lie.
Right from the start, it was her idea. How to go about it? Put the body in my own mind and change lives.
He's lying, Ranger.
Plant the key at Willie's shack, pretend she and I didn't know each other, then produce the body so she could collect on the insurance. All of it was her idea.
You shut up!
I'm not half finished yet. Got a witch out on me, will you? Wait till I get through spilling.
Shut up!
You know, Sheriff, strikes me we've only got one problem left.
What's that, Jase?
Getting them to talk slow enough so a stenographer can get it all down. Come on, both of you.
Fred Blaisdell and Clara Madden were indicted and placed on trial for the brutal murder of Gilbert Madden. For her part in the crime, Clara was sentenced to 50 years in the women's prison at Goree. On the morning of May 3rd, 1942, Blaisdell was put to death in the electric chair.
And now, here's the star of our show, Joel McRae.
Hello, folks. First of all, we want to thank you kindly for the many wonderful letters and cards we received during the summer months. It's mighty heartwarming to know we have so many good friends. As a matter of fact, the Rangers themselves have received quite a few of your letters, too. And like us, they certainly appreciated hearing from you. I'm sure that most of you will recall reading about a great Texas Ranger captain who retired from active duty on July 31st of this year. Some of our stories have been based on his exploits. He's the famous Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez, whose favorite guns are engraved with the code he has always lived by in his colorful career. Never draw me without cause, nor shield me without dishonor. Tomorrow, it'll be exactly 31 years since Lone Wolf was sworn in as a Texas Ranger. And as in the past year, so in the years to come, we are proud to have him as our technical advisor. Congratulations, Cap. See you next week, folks.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. The cast included Tony Barrett, Bill Johnstone, Lamont Johnson, Ken Christie, Betty Lou Gerson, and Brad Brown. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Bob Reif, and the program is produced and directed by Stacy Keats. Hal Gibney speaking.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Today, hear the glittering premiere program of The Big Show, broadcast from London, and featuring Sir Laurence Olivier, Fred Allen, Beatrice Lilly, and your unpredictable hostess, Tallulah Bankhead. Then join in the fun with the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show as they launch their new comedy season. And later, Theater Guild on the Air brings you Joseph Cotten and Joan Fontaine in Main Street by Sinclair Lewis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the program You Can't Take It With You, starring Walter Brennan, is now heard at a new time and day. That's Friday on most NBC stations. Stay tuned for The Big Show and Tallulah on NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.